Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening and watching the Italian-American Entertainment Podcast. And I'm your host, Vince Shirelli, and today I'll be interviewing Joseph Farina. And Joe is the Director of Communications and Marketing for the upcoming Dick Biondi film, an actor himself and the son of the late actor Dennis Farina. So welcome, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, Vince. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, great to talk to you, and great to, you know, you're in the Chicago area, right, too, as well?
Yeah. I live in the far northwest suburbs of Chicago. I'm actually, believe it or not, closer to where you're at, believe it or not. So
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm off of 90. Okay. Near 90 and Randall Road. Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's not that far. Not that far. Yeah, Rockford. It's always funny when I talk to guys that live like right in Chicago and you say, oh, I'm from Rockford. They think it's like a different world. Like it's so far away. It's like we're only an hour away. It's not that far.
Yeah, it's not far at all.
So we usually start this thing, since it's about, of course, Italian Americans, is you just told us where you're from now, but where in Italy do you trace your ancestry?
Oh, sure. My paternal grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, were both from Italy. My grandmother, Yolanda Donati, that was her maiden name, Donati, was from a city called Borgata. And my grandfather, Joseph, whom I'm named after, was from Vialba, Sicily. Not too far from Palermo.
Okay.
And my grandfather was one of the first Sicilian immigrants to graduate from medical school in Chicago. And he had a practice of, starting in, the early 1900s until I think right before the Great Depression is kind of when I think he kind of slowed his practice down. But during that time frame is when he had his practice. So my roots are my grandfather is from Sicily and my grandmother is from Borgata, Italy.
Very cool. Nice. So you reached out to me. I'm glad you did. You're doing some great work on this upcoming film. So I know there's a lot we could talk about Dick Biondi. He's an Italian-American radio personality. But why don't you, because unfortunately, I never knew about him, to be honest. It's great now to find out about him. So why don't you give a quick overview about a little bit of who he was and some of the bigger contributions he had for the entertainment industry, especially as an Italian-American.
Sure. Dick Biondi is from a little town in New York State called Endicott. He is an Italian-American. Both of his parents were from Italy. I can't think off the top of my head what area of Italy they were from, but the area that Dick grew up in Endicott was called the Knob, and that's where a lot of the that's essentially where the core of Italian Americans lived in Endicott at that time. And okay. Dick, he is one of the most highly decorated disc jockeys in the history of music and broadcasting. One of his bigger claim to fame is that he is the first DJ to play a Beatles record in the U.S. Hmm. He did that when he was on WLS radio in 1963. Dick played Please Please Me. And this was a full year before the Beatles arrived, so to speak, in America the following year, and the rest is history. But Dick is the first to play a Beatles record in the U.S. When he was a younger gentleman, he had aspirations, believe it or not, to be a priest. And I think that goes back to his, his Italian-American roots and being a dedicated Catholic. And so he had aspirations to do that when he was younger. Then he had an opportunity to read a live 30, you know, quick commercial copy on the radio in his hometown. And he had never done this before. He's just a little kid, you know, little. And he did it. And, you know, that was it. He's like, this, forget the priesthood. I want to be on the radio, because he got just such a, he got an amazing response. He, you know, people would say, hey, I heard you on the radio. You sounded great. You know, he really was attracted to all of the attention that somebody can get by being a broadcaster. And after graduating high school is when Dick started his illustrious career as a disc jockey. He worked at some smaller radio stations near his home in Endicott. And eventually, the first kind of bigger market that he worked in was in Alexandria, Louisiana. Okay. Now, this is in the mid-1950s, okay? And just think of the climate of the world at that time, especially in the South. Dick was one of the first DJs to play rhythm and blues music, Fats Domino, and all those rhythm and blues musicians that you could think of right now. He was among the first to play those records. And the fact that he started playing those records in the South, pretty significant. Hmm. And after after Alexandria, he moved on to Youngstown, Ohio. And this was when the onset of rock and roll was coming. You know, Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and, you know, Bobby Darin, you know, all those, classic 1950s rock and roll stars that we all know and love. Dick was among the first to play their records and support their careers very early on. And because what a trend was starting to happen is that if Dick Biondi was started playing your record on the radio, odds are it was going to be a hit. And so people, the teenagers were not only responding to this dynamite sound of rock and roll, but this DJ, Dick Biondi, the teenagers just loved him because he was, this was when he was starting to kind of build his personality, that wild Italian personality, somebody that was energetic and enthusiastic and just, you know, a little bit, you know, not as conservative, you know, he's a little bit more liberal and out of the box and just, you know, kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of an instigator, you know, so to speak, just because he was just so, you know, he had such amazing personality and teenagers really, really were attracted to that. So after Youngstown, he went on to Buffalo, New York, and he became a top DJ in Buffalo. And now this was late 1950s we're at right now. And then in 1960 is when Dick arrives in Chicago at WLS. Now the thing about WLS at that time, it had the biggest radio transmitter in the United States. So people can listen to WLS all over the world. Or all over, you know, especially in the U.S., in Canada too. So here comes Dick Biondi, this personality, just, you know, loud, energetic, just, you know, just loose and free. Now he's in the third largest market with the, you know, with the biggest transmitter, and he becomes the number one DJ. Hmm. People love Dick Biondi, and. And what was really cool about that time, too, with a DJ, with those kinds of DJs, is that you were able to, you know, fans of a certain DJ, you know, they were approachable. You could talk to them, get autographs, pictures. A lot of these DJs worked at disc jockeys. Dick was one of them. And so he really became, you know, such a personality, and his popularity grew and grew and grew. And then, you know, February 1963, he plays the first Beatles record in the U.S. Boom. Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Incredible.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah. So throughout, I mean, his whole broadcasting career, I'm sure he helped like the Beatles and a bunch of other, you know, big groups in the 60s. Yeah. But did he help specifically any Italian Americans that you know of?
Oh, sure. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Bobby Darin. Bobby Darin was an Italian American.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, you and I might know that, but a lot of people out there are watching, you know, he was an Italian American. And very early on in his career, Bobby Darin's career, he befriended Dick Biondi. They became wonderful friends and eventually very close friends. And Dick helped Bobby Darin very early on in his career by playing his records and just getting word out about him and supporting his career and so forth. And Dick Biondi did that with Elvis and a lot of Jerry Lee Lewis and a lot of the bigger names. But Bobby Darin was really, when you think about Bobby Darin and what he became, I mean, he was a wonderful singer, songwriter, musician, actor.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually do think you know I'm a musician, but I do a Bobby Darin tribute show that I do Bobby Darin. So I love Bobby Darin.
That's awesome.
He's one of my favorites. Yeah.
You know, that's great. You know, that's funny that you mention that because I don't know if are you familiar with Dennis Tufano?
Dennis Tufano? I've heard that name.
Dennis is the original voice of a very, very popular Chicago area band called the Buckinghams.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's how they sang. That's how I know it. Yep.
And Dennis is an Italian American. And Dennis, just like yourself, he does a Bobby Darin tribute act as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line, the two of you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Show together. That'd be awesome.
So how did you get involved in promoting the film? I know you're a big. I saw from your social media presence that you love 60s music, but
I do. Yes.
Other than that, is there another reason you got involved in helping with this?
Absolutely. Well, number one. I've been a big Dick Biondi fan since the early 1980s when Dick came back to Chicago. In the 1970s, he was in South Carolina.
Okay.
So he left in the early 60s, he left WLS, went to KRLA in Los Angeles when the British invasion was happening.
Okay.
And then he went to a few, he came back to Chicago in the late 60s. And then in the 70s, he was in South Carolina. So he came back to Chicago in the early 80s, and I remember him on WJMK, Magic 104.3. And that's when I started listening to the station, was when he came back to Chicago and came back on the air. So I just loved his personality, his love for music. You know, this personality that's just like, whoa. And you know, connecting that with my love of rock and roll music, I used to listen to him all the time. Hmm. So anyway, to make a long story short, about 3 years ago, I went to an Italian American fundraiser, and Dennis Tufano was performing there, and a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go. She was helping Dennis with this particular show. And I said, absolutely. It was in my old neighborhood at the Copernicus Center where, you know, I grew up in Jefferson Park. So, and I'm a big Dennis Tufano fan and the Buckinghams and so forth. And I was introduced to Pamela Enzweiler Police, who's the director and producer of the Dick Biondi film, through a mutual friend at this concert.
Okay.
And she was telling me about this Dick Biondi film that she was putting together. She had been working on it already back then, probably for about three and a half years. And she was at a point where she kind of was looking for, you know, ways to kind of get the movie finished, essentially, get the post-production process finished, essentially, and get sponsors and things like that. So with my background in entertainment and marketing and communications and so forth, I said, Pam, I'd love to talk to you about this project. This sounds dynamite. I love Dick Biondi. I love rock and roll. I love film. Let's talk. So a week later, we met, and we talked about her plan, what she had already done thus far, and then her goals for the film in the future. I said, look, I got to be a part of this. I said, I'd love to direct your marketing, communications, promotions, help you get sponsors to get this film done. And that's what I've been doing the last three years. And she's, you know, she's put a lot of time and into this project. And we're at a point where 2021 might be, at some point in 2021, I think we might be able to get the film done and out and released. We're working on a lot of post-production, sound editing, images, sound bites, things like that. So we feel really good about everything. And, you know, my responsibility is getting the word out about the film and helping to get sponsors and, you know, trying to get connect with the Italian American community to talk about the film and inspire people to check out the film and learn more. So,
okay.
And for me personally, it's been a blast. I've really been enjoying it.
Well, that's cool. So how is there a way that people, if they love what you guys are doing, can help, you know, I don't know, financially or sponsorship, or how can people help?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Several ways I can answer that for you. The first part is going to our website, dickbiondifilm.com. Okay. A lot of information on there. And we are we're still seeking donations and sponsorships. You know, this is an independent documentary. We don't have a big budget. We don't have the backing of we don't have the financial backing or anything like that. So to help us along the way, we rely on donations and sponsorships, and they are tax deductible. We have a nonprofit fiscal sponsor, Chicago Filmmakers. So anybody who makes a donation or who wishes to be a sponsor, it's tax deductible, and it's on our website, all that information.
Okay.
Another way you can stay in touch with us and help us out. We're constantly on social media, especially Facebook. We have an official Dick Biondi Film Facebook page and Facebook group. And, we want to tell people out there, come join us, like the page, join the group. We're always updating information about the film. We're always posting clips, pictures, anything related not only to the film, but to rock and roll, Dick Biondi, all of that. It's a really unique, special community that we've been building, and it's been absolutely dynamite. And lastly, subscribe to the official Dick Biondi Film YouTube channel. We post clips from the film, as well as clips from during this pandemic, Pamela and I put together this Zoom show called The Rock and Roll Show with Pam and Joe. And every week we have a different guest from the music industry on our show. And we've had a lot of Italian Americans on our show, Joe Mantegna, Carl G. Morisi from the Buckinghams, Dennis Tufano as well. You know, Tom Dreesen is part Italian. And we've also had the likes of Tony Orlando, Gary Lewis, Tommy James, and I mean the list goes on. And it's our way of just kind of offering people out there some type of entertainment and respite and from that's all cool. The stuff that's going on with the pandemic.
Very cool. So outside of the film.
Yeah.
You, of course, are Italian American, as we said, and you have been in the entertainment industry yourself. So, you are an actor, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and so you're following a little bit in your father's footsteps. So why don't you tell the people out there about your late father, Dennis, and how he influenced you, and you know, getting you into the entertainment world.
Wow, man, where do I begin? my father was a policeman. He was a detective for about 18 years in Chicago. And quite honestly, you know, when my parents were together, and me and my two older brothers were, growing up in Chicago and all that, you know, we never even thought that, my dad would eventually, go into show business. No. And I don't say that, to be sound like I'm patronizing or anything, but we lived a normal life. I mean, we really did. I mean, my dad was a policeman. My mom and dad were married. We grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. We went to school, played sports, did all that stuff. And then, in the late 70s and, early 80s, my father got into acting. He was lucky because he got a small role in a film called Thief, directed by Michael Mann, who's a Chicagoan as well. And my dad got involved because some of his buddies from the police force were involved in the film as consultants, so to speak, because the movie is based on a thief, really. And it's so they wanted some, Chicago policemen on board to just kind of help with, story, and just make sure everything makes sense and so forth. So my father was asked to, if he wanted to have a small role in the film. And my father had never done any acting before, none. Never took an acting class, none of that stuff. So he took the role, and if you watch it's a great film overall, not because my dad is in it, but if you're a movie fan, a Michael Mann fan, The Thief is a great film. But for somebody that had never done movies before, my dad has a lot of camera time. And I mean, really, and he stood out. I mean, he had this big, thick mustache, this thick, bushy, curly hair. You couldn't miss him. I mean, one day I see my dad in, black socks and sandals and a t-shirt and a plaid short. And the next thing you know, he's on the TV screen movie screen getting shot up by James Caan at the end of the film. And it's a big deal, at the end of the movie. So for me, I remember a lot of the times when my dad was a policeman and just all the guys and going to the, picnics and get togethers and all that. But when my dad was starting to make that transformation into acting, at that time, my parents were separated. I have two older brothers, and they were just kind of, doing their own thing, really. They were a little older than me. So they were doing their own thing. So whenever I hung out with my dad, I didn't live with my dad. I lived with my mom, is when my dad was starting to make this transformation into an actor. So I would go. I would go to meetings with him, or I'd go visit, we'd go visit his agent. I would go to rehearsals, go to lunches or dinners. I can recall very clearly, because my dad got involved in Chicago theater in the early 80s. The first play my dad ever did was called A Prayer for My Daughter, and my dad never did a play before. And he got the leading role in that play. And the play was directed by John Malkovich. And it also had Terry Kinney in it, Jeff Perry, John Mahoney. Now, these people eventually became big names in Hollywood. They really did. So for my dad to go from, being in this, the first movie he ever did with James Caan, now going to the first play he ever did with these well-known names. They weren't well-known at the time, but they were kind of an up-and-coming, you know, there was a buzz about them because they were all associated with Steppenwolf, you know, that's why. So anyway, so I was with him, and I remember going to my dad's apartment, and he would have these get-togethers, you know, for coffee and, you know, or lunch, you know, at his apartment. You know, no wild parties or crazy stuff, but they would just all sit around and talk about maybe a project that they were doing, you know, about a play, about, you know, just kind of getting to know each other. And I remember there would be, you know, John Mahoney next to me, Terry Kinney and Jeff Perry, Joan Allen, the Academy Award nominated actress, whom I had a big crush on her back then. I would draw pictures for her and give her, you know. So I remember that very well. And so that, you know, and every year it seemed to, every year, how can I put it? You know, my dad's career, every year it started to get bigger and bigger is the best way I can put it, because his roles got bigger and things like that. By 1985, my dad was at a point in his acting career that he could officially retire from the police department, because he was still a policeman technically while he was still doing all this acting stuff. So he went from being a policeman to a full-time actor when he retired in 1985. And 1985 was when he got the role in Manhunter, which was a co-starring role. And then the following year, he got the lead role in Crime Story for NBC.
That's crazy. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was. I knew he was a police officer, but it wasn't. Eddie Money was a Chicago cop too, wasn't he?
Not a Chicago cop. Chicago,
or,
No, New York. Eddie Money was from New York.
New York. Yeah. Okay. I knew he was a cop, and then got into music. So that's a cool. Cool story. And so, I mean, did you know, because of, you know, hanging out with your dad while he was doing that, did you get, is that when you got the acting bug and kind of, or was it later on?
That's a great question. A couple ways I can answer that. I think my gut instinct is to say probably a little bit later on, in my life, because I think I was, my focus at the time, and a lot of this I didn't realize until I was a little bit older, but at that time too, it was important for me to just kind of try as much as possible, live a normal life. I mean, go to school, hang out with my friends, play sports, you know, that kind of deal. Yeah. But, I learned a lot from my dad. I mean, I'll say that. I mean, I was on so many sets, and I just had a chance to watch how everything worked, how he worked. And at the time I was young, and I thought, wow, this was just really cool. Right. That's just kind of the mind frame that this is just awesome. And it wasn't until a little bit later, as I got older, that I realized, oh my God, you know, rehearsals and memorizing your lines and, you know, all the other stuff that goes into it. So, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Okay, I get it. So it's, you know, there's a lot of work involved with this. And my dad worked, you know, he worked hard, and I got to witness a lot of that and how he treated people too. From what I witnessed most of my life with my dad, whenever I was with him or on a set or anything related to the entertainment industry, he was always good with everybody. He was always nice with everyone. I mean it. I mean, I never, he never berated any, you know, I never berated anybody or called anybody out. He was always very cordial, very nice to everyone. And that, I think, you know, really stuck with me, still does. So I try to keep a level, you know, it was important for me to kind of keep a level head about everything. It still is. So I learned a lot from him, but I didn't realize this until I was a little bit later, until I was a little bit older, excuse me. Because there was a period of time in my life where I, you know, lived my life and just did other things and that, you know, jobs and school, things like that. And so it wasn't really until probably maybe 30 or so, I said, you know what, I want to actually try acting, the actual process of doing a project. You know, I think I'm ready. I had some reluctance too. It's like, because I knew there was going to be people were going to compare and contrast me to my dad, you know, things like that. So I really had to come to a place mentally where I could say, okay, you know, I'm ready, you know, and I can handle this in a much better way. Now that I'm a little bit older, I can handle this and do this. So hopefully that's worked. And because whenever I can act, I'll do it. You know, the most important thing for me right now is I love being a dad. I love being a father. I have a beautiful wife. We have two beautiful little kids. And it's important for me to be with my kids as much as possible. I mean, that's my main priority. But in terms of acting, I've done a fair share of acting, a lot of independent projects. The last film I did was a film called Strapped, which was released worldwide on YouTube and Vimeo, a few years back. But it went to a lot of film festivals, won some awards, and looking back, it's probably, it's acting wise, I think I'm proud of that the most. And it's had some, still has a little life in it. Has some legs in it. Even now, I'll have people, every now and then write me a message or something and say, hey, I just saw your film. Looks great. You know, you did a great job. Cast was great. You know, things like that. So it's always nice. But in a nutshell, I learned a lot from my dad. Absolutely. No doubt. And probably a lot more than I realize. Sure. And it's also important I'm glad that I was able to learn on my own as well, independent of my dad as well. The ups and downs and, because it's the entertainment industry can be real fickle. It can be beautiful and it can also be very, very harsh. So you have to find, the right way to right way to approach it. But I'm proud of my father's work. Vince, I think as time goes on since he passed away, I think his legacy, he had a pretty strong legacy already when he was alive, but I think his legacy has grown even more. If you look back at his body of work, it's pretty damn good, pretty amazing. And I think, his legacy will grow as time, goes on. And I'm closely, I have two older brothers and but I think because of those experiences I had with my dad growing up as he was evolving into an actor, I think if anybody was going to talk about my dad's career or kind of carry it, his legacy in a way, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything like that, or represent my dad in some form or fashion, it's going to be me. And it's because of those experiences I had with him, I do enjoy sharing those experiences because as his popularity was growing, I was a teenager. And, as a teenager, so much stuff going on, right. On top of that. But I think back then, at times it was hard for me to handle But because I was like, it was odd. It's like, boy, oh boy, you know, I'm the only one at this high school whose dad's on TV every week, right. You know, and I have these people coming up to me. It's, oh, I love your dad. And so it was, you know, it was,
yeah, that's tough.
A process to get, right. You know, to get through. But I think as I got older, I don't think I was a jerk about it.
Sure.
Not, or arrogant about it whatsoever. But I think I handle it much better now than I ever did.
That's cool. Well, it's great what you're doing to help out, you know, for the Dick Biondi film and carrying, you know, your dad's legacy and sharing his stories. And before we end this, how do people find out again more about the film? And do you have a website personally? How do people find you? You have a radio show too, right? Like you said, you do like a little Zoom thing. So why don't you list all that, and then I can tag all those little.
Okay, all right. Are you ready, Vince?
Yeah,
all right, are you ready? Okay, you might need two pens. All right. Number one, DickBiondiFilm.com is the official website of the Dick Biondi film. You can learn so much about the movie at that website. Learn how to donate, how to be a sponsor. All that is on there. We're also on Facebook, primarily on Facebook. We have an awesome Facebook group and a magnificent Facebook page. Join us there. We're always doing something. We're always updating fun stuff all the time. YouTube channel, official Dick Biondi film YouTube channel. You got to check that out. It's awesome. And the show you're referring to is a Zoom show called The Rock and Roll Show with Pam and Joe. And every week we have a different guest from the music industry or the entertainment industry joining us. Next week is Gary Lewis. We have Dee Dee Sharp coming up, Frank Jekyll from the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. But our previous guests have been like Joe Mantegna, Dennis Tufano, Carl G. Morisi, the list goes on. And we always post those interviews, videos on the Dick Biondi Film Facebook page and YouTube channel every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll definitely, share all those links with this and try to help you guys out so you can. It's a great thing what you guys are doing. So I hope next year is the year for it to come out. So that'd be great.
It's looking really good, Vince. And
that's good.
I just want to say really quickly, thank you to everybody who has supported the Dick Biondi film thus far. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't be here without you. And PBS is really going to be the primary main source of airing the film, and WTTW in Chicago.
Cool.
They want to air the movie. So we're really happy about that. So hopefully 2021 will be that special year where everybody can see the Dick Biondi film.
Well, I hope so. And once again, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you reaching out. And since we live so close, once this pandemic's over, maybe we can get together sometime, meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, love that. That'd be great.
All right. Well, once again,
you're on, man.
Once again, thanks everybody for listening and watching the Italian American Entertainment Podcast. I'm Vince, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.